This episode of The Deep Dive is brought to you by Wadadley Solar LLC, making sure your solar investment actually pays you back.
Okay, let's unpack this. I was reading through some commercial real estate forums, and the obsession with metrics is just, it's intense.
Oh, it's a game of inches. You know that.
Truly, if you're running a business, any business really, but especially if you own commercial property, you are probably obsessed with your dashboard. Mm. You've got your spreadsheets open. You're looking at revenue per square foot of floor space, tracking inventory turns, labor efficiency, down to the minute.
Right. It's the lifeblood.
Yeah.
The oldest rule in the book is if you can't measure it, you can't manage it.
And if you aren't managing it, you're losing money. Simple as that. But here's where it gets really interesting. Our sources today suggest there is this massive, gaping blind spot in all those metrics.
An asset that most owners are just completely ignoring.
Exactly. And it's sitting right on top of the building. Literally.
We're talking about the roof.
The roof. Mm-hmm. And specifically, the mindset surrounding the roof. Because for most people, especially in a place like New York City or the Northeast, the roof is just overhead.
It's worse than overhead. It's a liability. That's how a CFO sees it.
Yeah.
It's something you have to patch when it leaks, shovel when it snows, and then, you know, eventually spend a fortune to replace. It's a cost center.
It eats money. It doesn't make it.
Right. But today, we're going to flip that script. We're doing a deep dive into the insights of Alexis Lewis. He's a commercial solar construction leader in NYC, and he's raising a question that, frankly, it made me stop and think.
And the question is,
are you properly evaluating the revenue potential of your roof?
It's such a powerful reframing, moving from maintenance costs to measurable energy asset.
And what's fascinating here is that Alexis Lewis isn't just coming at this from some, you know, theoretical perspective. He oversees operations and maintenance for multiple EPC firms.
Okay, pause there. We see that acronym a lot. EPC, what are we actually talking about?
It stands for engineering, procurement, and construction. So these are basically the big firms that design the projects, buy all the hardware, and then actually build them.
They put the steel and glass on the roof.
Exactly. So Lewis has seen it all. The field execution, the diagnostics, and maybe most importantly, what happens when things go wrong?
Because he works on the O&M side operations and maintenance, he sees the end result 5 years down the line.
Yeah. He sees the leaks, the electrical faults, the underperformance. His whole mission, and our mission for this deep dive, is to help you understand how to evaluate that roof like an asset, and why independent oversight is the only way to do it safely.
So let's start with that mindset shift. The phrase that jumped out at me from the source material was dormant infrastructure.
That's a great term.
It really is. It paints such a clear picture. You have this massive surface area that is just sitting there doing nothing.
Well, think about it this way. If you walked into your factory and saw a machine that took up 10,000 square feet, but it produced absolute nothing, you'd be furious.
I'd want to know why it wasn't running.
Exactly. You'd either get it running or get it out of there. But because the roof is out of sight, it's out of mind. We just accept that it's dormant.
And meanwhile, you're managing everything else with incredible rigor. Equipment, capacity, space utilization, hedging against energy costs.
But the roof, it just sits there.
And the risk here isn't just a missed opportunity, right? The source material mentions that if you don't measure it, someone else might.
That's a really critical point. It's the head in the sand risk. If you ignore the asset, you lose control of the narrative. Eventually, you know, market forces, leases, power purchase agreements, they're going to come knocking.
Someone is going to realize you have 50,000 square feet of flat roof in Queens and make you an offer.
And if you haven't done your own evaluation, you're entering that conversation blind. You might let someone else monetize your asset while you just get a small piece of the pie.
So the key metric we need to add to that dashboard is revenue potential per square foot of roof.
Correct. It needs to sit right alongside revenue per square foot of floor space. Treat it like real estate, because that's what it is.
Okay, so that's the why. Stop looking at the roof as an umbrella and start looking at it as a potential power plant. But let's get into the how, because I imagine a listener thinking, great, I have a roof, let's slap some panels on it.
And that is exactly where people get into trouble. That enthusiasm, you know, it can be dangerous.
Right.
This is where Alexis Lewis's expertise really shines in the material. He provides a serious reality check.
Not every roof is a gold mine.
Some are money pits if you try to force it.
Exactly. He outlines four specific factors, let's call them filters, that determine if a project actually pencils out. Number one, size matters.
And we're not talking about a house here.
No.
Yeah.
For commercial flat roofs, Lewis points to a specific threshold. the 8,000 to 10,000 square foot range minimum.
Why that specific number? Why not 5,000?
It's all about the economics of mobilization. There are fixed costs to any project. You have permits, interconnection fees to the utility, renting a crane.
And you pay those costs whether you install 10 panels or 1,000.
Precisely.
If the system is too small, say below that 8,000 square foot mark, those fixed costs just eat up all the potential revenue. The cost per watt skyrockets.
So if you've got a smaller building, your capital might be better spent elsewhere.
For sure. It's about efficiency. Don't force a square peg into a round hole just because you want solar.
Okay, filter number two. This one seems obvious, but I bet it gets ignored all the time. Roof life versus enthusiasm.
Oh, this is the classic tragedy. The source material is very blunt here. It says, solar punishes short-term thinking.
I can imagine why.
You need a roof with 5 to 10+ years of remaining life. And that has to be verified life. Imagine you spend all this capital on a solar array, and 3 years later, your roof starts leaking because the membrane was old.
Oh, nightmare.
Absolute nightmare. Because now you can't just patch it. You have to pay up a crew to decommission the whole system, take it all off, store it somewhere, replace the roof, and then pay to reinstall the solar.
You've just paid for the installation twice.
And your ROI is completely destroyed. So, you know, enthusiasm for going green can't override the physical reality of the roof itself.
You have to marry the two life cycles. Makes sense. Okay, factor three. Structural reality.
The key phrase here is it isn't guesswork.
We interrupt this podcast with a quick reminder. Solar systems that aren't inspected don't perform as designed. Annual inspections protect output, safety, and payback. Wadadley Solar LLC, serving the U.S., Antigua, Guyana.
You can't just look at a roof and say, yeah, that looks sturdy.
Yeah, it held the snow last winter. It should be fine.
Right. Not a strategy. You're adding what we call dead load, permanent weight. You have the racking, the modules, and crucially, on flat roofs, you often have ballast.
What's ballast?
Concrete blocks, basically. On a flat roof, you often don't want to drill holes into the membrane for obvious reasons.
Leaks.
Right. So instead, you hold the system down with weight. Heavy concrete blocks.
So you're literally putting tons of concrete on your roof.
Tons. A basic structural review is mandatory. You need to know if the building seal can carry that load. Forcing a project on a structure that can't support it, I mean, the liability is catastrophic.
Okay, no skipping that step. And finally, factor number four, which I find interesting, the shade myth.
Or the street view fallacy.
Wow.
It looks sunny enough from the parking lot.
It always looks sunny from the parking lot. But that view is irrelevant. What matters is the view from the module itself. You have parapet walls, HVAC units, cooling towers, casting shadows.
And the sun moves.
It does. In June, the sun is high, shadows are short. But in December, a 3-foot-tall HVAC unit might cast a 20-foot shadow. If that shadow hits your panels, your production just craters.
So how do you account for that? You can't just guess.
Lewis specifies using technology. A drone flight combined with a sun path analysis. You create a 3D model of the roof and you simulate the sun for every hour of the year.
And that tells you what's actually usable space versus what just looks usable.
It separates the revenue space from the dumb space.
Exactly. So these four filters, size, roof life, structure, and shade. If you pass them, you might have a dormant asset.
And if you don't, you have a maintenance line item. And knowing you shouldn't do a project is just as valuable as finding one you should. It saves you capital.
That's a great transition to the next part of this, execution. Because even if the metrics look good, things can still go sideways.
They often do. And this is where the role of independent oversight becomes absolutely critical.
Let's go back to Alexis Lewis's profile. He's in NYC, commercial solar construction, but the source mentions he helps with asset stabilization.
Which is a polite, professional way of saying fixing things that are broken.
Right.
Because he oversees these O&M portfolios, he sees the end result of bad planning. He sees the systems that underperform, the leaks, the electrical faults. That life cycle focused thinking is what he brings to the front end of the process.
And he's offering independent consultation services.
Yeah.
We really need to focus on that word, independent. Why does that matter so much?
Think about the incentives. If you're talking to a developer or a sales rep, their goal is to sell you a system. They want to get the deal signed.
They get paid when the panels go up.
Exactly. So they might be a little optimistic about that shade analysis. They might gloss over the age of your roof.
Yeah.
Alexis Lewis is offering a clear technical assessment. It's not a sales pitch. He isn't trying to sell your hardware. He's trying to tell you if the hardware makes sense for you.
It's like getting a home inspection before you buy the house instead of just trusting the seller who says the foundation is great.
It's the perfect analogy. And for a commercial property owner, the stakes are so much higher. Independent verification prevents what the source calls costly missteps.
So who actually needs this? Who is listening right now that should be reaching for their phone?
The source material breaks this down into a few really clear scenarios. I think it covers a broad spectrum.
Okay, let's run through them. Scenario A.
The first timer. You're a property owner. You've been hearing about solar, getting cold calls maybe. You just need a roadmap. You don't know a kilowatt from a kilovolt. You need someone to give you the unvarnished reality of your roof.
Just the facts. No sales pressure. Okay, scenario B.
The manager. This is interesting. You might already have a project underway. You're managing an active EPC, but maybe you have a nagging feeling. You need a second opinion from someone who actually knows what they're looking at.
A sanity check.
Exactly.
Then there's scenario C, the investor.
Right. This is pure due diligence. Before you sign that massive check, you want independent verification. Do the numbers the developer gave you actually pencil out?
And finally, scenario D, the owner who already has a system installed.
This goes back to diagnostics. Your system is on your roof. Is it actually performing as designed? Or is it degrading faster than it should? Lewis's background in O&M is perfect for that. He can tell you if your asset is healthy or if it's sick.
It all comes back to that core philosophy, life cycle focused thinking.
That's the phrase. It's not just about the installation day ribbon cutting. It's about the next 20 years. Treating the roof as infrastructure means planning for the long game.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener?
It means you probably need to go up on your roof.
Or at least send a drone up there.
It means if you own commercial property, you need to stop ignoring that square footage. It is a blind spot. It could be a cash flowing asset, but only if you evaluate it with data, not just enthusiasm.
And you have to know who you're getting your advice from. Is it a sales pitch or is it a technical assessment?
And the difference between those two can be the difference between a profitable asset and a 20-year headache.
If this is resonating with you, if you are that first timer, that manager, that investor, or that owner, the source material points to Alexis Lewis as the resource. He's offering consultation and rooftop solar asset reviews.
And having someone with that field execution experience, I mean, someone who has actually built and fixed these things,
right?
That's invaluable. You want someone with dirt on their boots, not just someone who models things in Excel.
If you want to reach out for consultation, we have the direct line from the source. You can call 718-704-0903.
Can you give that number one more time?
It's 718-704-0903. Whether you're looking for that initial check to see if your roof is even a candidate or if you need oversight on a project that's already in motion, that's the connection to make.
It's about taking control of your asset.
Absolutely. We started this deep dive with a question about metrics, revenue per square foot, labor efficiency. We're going to leave you with the question that Alexis Lewis poses in the source material. It's a question for your next strategy meeting.
When was the last time your roof was evaluated like an asset instead of a maintenance line item?
Something to think about next time you look up. Thanks for listening to The Deep Dive.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. We hope you found this podcast useful. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to reach out to us at info@alternativesolutions.az. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to tune in for future episodes.